Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we are so glad you're along with us this weekend on our show. And it is hard to believe that less than a few weeks away, college football practice will be getting underway. And July is the perfect time to start previewing some of the schools right here in the Big 12. Big 12 Media Days are going to be taking place here in Irving next week. And joining us on the Western Company of Texas phone line is Mitchell Light from Athlon Sports. He is the managing editor. And Mitchell, it's always great to have you back on the program.
Glad to be here and glad to talk a little football.
Well, let's talk some Big 12 football. That's where we're going to start our conversation. And we're going to head to Lubbock, Texas. A lot of drama in the offseason, personnel turnover, the new coach in Tommy Tuberville. What does the future hold there?
Well, they are one of the more intriguing teams, not only in the league, in the country, because of the radical shift in coaching. I'm a huge Tommy Tuberville fan, as you know, Elissa. We're here in I'm here in Nashville in SEC country, so I've watched a lot of Auburn football, and I thought he was probably, I always said this, one of the most underrated coaches in the country. Auburn's run of success in the SEC, consistent, except that year when they went undefeated and got kind of jobbed for the national title, depending on who you believe. Other than that year, they didn't necessarily threaten for championships, but they were always good, and that's something very difficult to do in power conferences, to be consistently good. I think they had 9 straight winning SEC seasons. But, as you know, he's kind of an old-school football coach, likes to run the ball, likes to play defense. He flirted with the spread offense at Auburn in his final year, and it was a disaster, basically. He fired his coordinator, got him fired. Now he's saying all the right things at Texas Tech, that he wants to keep the spread, hired Neil Brown away from Troy. Still have a lot of receivers, still have an off personnel that's suited for the spread, but I'll believe it when I see it. When Texas Tech running the spread, let's say he's up 7 points in the fourth quarter, is he still going to be throwing the ball over the place, or is he going to hand it to the tailback? Now, they do have some good running backs, and Baron Batch and Eric Stevens, and quarterback situation, they've got 2 guys that have produced there. So I think Texas Tech is positioned for a pretty good year. Obviously, they've lost some key players over the last 2 years. We haven't picked 4th in the South. But I think this year and going forward, I'm just really intrigued to see what Tuberville does with that program.
Well, I'm glad you highlight and talk about some of the key contributors that will be returning at quarterback, running back, wide receiver position. But what kind of grade would you give them defensively? They lost big player, a linebacker, Marlon Williams. He was a 39-game starter.
Yeah, and one thing that Texas Tech did in recent years was get a lot better defensively. I don't think people realize that. They were winning games a lot of times during the Mike Leach era, 41, 34, whatever like that. Last couple of years, statistically, they got really good, or pretty good. Okay, let's call them mediocre, which when you're running that kind of offense, it's good enough. Last year they ranked 49th in the country in total defense, which is good enough when you're running that offense. And, they did lose some key guys, but they have enough parts coming back. Should be pretty good at the linebacker core. Some issues up front maybe with only 1 starter back. But I think they will be good enough. Again, if the offense doesn't take a dip, they'll be good enough to win enough games this year.
Okay, what about special teams?
Well, they've had one of the great stories with Matt Williams, the kicker. I remember BC basically did the same thing a couple years ago. Basically had a kid come out of the stands and win some games for them with Matt Williams. So a great story there. Not a great kicker, but solid. And one thing about Texas Tech, when you run a 4 wide, and you run that kind of offense, you're always going to have speedy, kind of those diminutive speed guys, for whether they're running backs or wide receivers. Those guys are usually good in the return game. So I would expect them to have some playmakers in that part of the game.
We are talking Big 12 football with Mitchell Light from Athlon Sports. He's the managing editor. We want to take time to direct our listeners to where they can find out more information on your magazine.
Well, thank you very much. AthlonSports.com. You can buy all of our magazines there, we regionalize the mags and the cover. So in Big 12, obviously the one on sale there, it's got the Texas, Texas A&M, Texas Tech. But if you're an OU fan, we've got the Oklahoma, Oklahoma State cover, Nebraska, who is still in the Big 12, I guess, have them there. So and you can buy any of our, SEC mags, Pac-10, Big East, all of them on our website at athlonsports.com.
Well, here momentarily, we're going to talk about Texas A&M, but there was a lot of excitement and some movement in the offseason. Mitchell Light, were you guys just scrambling there in Nashville, Tennessee, putting the magazine together when all that started taking place?
So it happened after the mags were out, so there's nothing we could do. So I was just basically a spectator like everyone else. It'll affect us, obviously, going forward. Nebraska will be in our Big Ten magazine next year, Colorado will be in the Pac-10. So we had a feature about Big Ten, possible Big Ten expansion in the in our Big Ten magazine. So obviously that was a little dated by the time it came out. But yeah, I mean, crazy off season. Could have been seismic changes. Ended up being just a little few blips there. But we'll see what happens. You know, I don't think anyone believes that we're done. Maybe we are for the next few years. But 5-10 years down the line, I really don't, you know, I don't think anyone knows what these leagues are going to look like.
I was going to say, what is the pulse of the SEC fans out there? What are those folks saying? Because there was a possibility that Texas A&M, that they might be, you know, perhaps going to the SEC.
I think everyone is pretty happy that things status quo. I think SEC fans, as they like to tell you, they have the best league in the country, and they don't need anybody new, and they don't want to lose anybody. So I think they're probably glad that they stayed with 12. And I think they're probably glad that the Pac-10, that big merger didn't happen, because then if that went to 16, then I think maybe they'd feel like they needed to do something. So I think probably that's what Mike Sly, the commissioner, would tell you too. They're just happy, you know, with what they have. They didn't really want to do anything, but they were kind of reacting to what was going on around the country.
I'm curious. I mean, what do you think, just kind of sitting back and watching all this unfold? I mean, is this a temporary solution? When will things start, the movement begin again?
Yeah, I don't know. It's really interesting. You know, the Big Ten, I think, is done. If they get a no from Notre Dame, or if they've gotten a no from Notre Dame, I don't think they're interested in moving forward. Now, if Notre Dame ever starts flirting with them, then I think they would welcome them with open arms, and then you'd see more expansion, because you want that even number of teams. So you might see some of those teams like Rutgers, Syracuse, Pitt back in play, or, you know, Missouri, whatever. So I think if Notre Dame stays put, we could be set for the next few years. It all depends on Texas. You know, if they remain happy, and, you know, that thing got sorted out at the 11th hour. So I think Texas and Notre Dame are probably the two schools that control so much right now.
Let's head to College Station. Let's talk about Mike Sherman's boys. Here he is in his third year, Texas A&M, coming off a 6-7 record. Coach Sherman saying that this was a team that did improve. What do you think?
Yeah, they're getting better. The program is definitely trending upward. Phenomenal on offense. Really, really bad on defense. The extreme, one of the most extreme teams in the country, statistically at least, as far as what they did on offense and what they did on defense. You know, with Gerard Johnson, we have him, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. In fact, at our All-American meeting, he, you know, for third-team All-America, there was a big debate internally about Terrell Pryor or Johnson. We ended up going with Pryor, but Johnson's right on the cusp of being an All-American there. Two really good running backs in Christian Michael and Cyrus Gray. Like what they have at wide receiver, Jeff Fuller coming back. So the obvious storyline is the new defensive coordinator, Tim DeReuter, coming in from Air Force, switching up to a 3-4. So they're kind of like what I said with Texas Tech. If they can just get mediocre on defense with what they have on offense this year, they could really take that leap up. We've got them third in the South, 35th overall, but I could definitely see A&M being a top 25 type team. Schedule not overly difficult. Non-conference play, really their only test is Arkansas. In your neck of the woods there. And Arkansas and Texas A&M are two very similar teams. Very explosive on offense, suspect on defense. So that should be an entertaining game.
Okay, a team that is very explosive offensively. We're talking about Texas, Mack Brown. Hard to believe he's in his 13th year there at UT. Ended their season very disappointing at the Rose Bowl. And, of course, we all remember Colt McCoy taking that hard hit on his shoulder. But the bright spot really was the future, and we were able to see Garrett Gilbert really showcase some of his skills in that second half.
Yeah, obviously one of the more difficult debuts anyone's ever had to make. I know that wasn't his first game, but first meaningful game, and did quite well after a rough start. So, you know, talent's never really the issue there. It's kind of putting the pieces together and all that stuff. Interesting to see what they do, you know, offensively, a little more eye formation to take advantage of Gilbert's strengths. Also just to run the ball better. You know, they've got talented run. You know, if you're Texas, you've got talent, but for whatever reason, maybe it's the formation, but whatever, that they have not been a successful running team with the running back, which, you know, you can't just make a living running with the quarterback. You need to get production from that tailback position. So whether it's Trey Newton or Fozzie Whitaker or some of the other guys there, they're going to have to get production from there. Really like what they've been doing on defense, obviously, the last couple of years with Will Muschamp. The names change, but the production stays the same. I expect they will be, again, one of the best defensive teams in the country.
What do you think about as far as their schedule? Because it seems like they really get after it. Of course, they've got Rice September 4, but Wyoming, and then they're at Texas Tech September 18th.
Yeah, you know, it's obvious they don't control, obviously, you know, their conference games for the most part. So when you look at Texas non-conference, they host UCLA, who is still fighting its way back to relevance, I guess I should say. So, not you look at the schedule, not too many tests. They go to Nebraska, they get Oklahoma, obviously a neutral field there. At Texas Tech is no picnic, but I look at the schedule. Not a lot of opportunities for losses for the Longhorns this year.
And if my memory serves me correctly, you mentioned Oklahoma. Didn't the Oklahoma, Texas, that was played later last year, and now it's going to be October 2nd.
Yeah, October 2nd this year. I'm looking at the schedule from last year. It was October 17th, so a couple weeks later. It's always, in mid-season, which is good. As a fan, I'm not sure which is better. I don't think we want to see those two teams playing the first couple weeks of the season. But that's obviously the game in the conference and in the country. And I will say that this is my ninth year here. I think every year in our predictions meeting, the biggest decision we make is who's going to win the Big 12 South, Oklahoma or Texas, because the winner of that game or the winner who we pick there is usually going to be a team that we talk about for a national championship contender. So this year we went with Oklahoma, but last year we also went with Oklahoma, and see how that turned out.
Beautiful segue. Let's talk about Oklahoma. 2010, the Sooners certainly will be looking to rebound. This was a team that had lost so many players last year. We remember it starting, in that first game, that season opener with their quarterback Sam Bradford, and then they went on to lose six starters and, three offensive linemen.
Yeah, it really was. Things just went from bad to worse and kind of spiraled out of control. A couple of reasons we really like Oklahoma this year. And, it's not all about statistics. It's about winning and losing. But you look at this team, they went 5-3 last year. But in their eight league games, they still outgained their Big 12 opponents 416 yards to 283. That's a staggering amount. I looked at the differentials for every school in the country, and that is one of the most dominating statistical, offense versus defense that you're going to see, especially from a team that went 5-3. Lost some close games. Texas Tech beat them by 28. That game kind of, just kind of throw that game out. I think Oklahoma, they're really good at the skill positions. If DeMarco Murray can stay healthy, he's going to be a Heisman Trophy candidate. Like Ryan Broyles at wide receiver, Kenny Stills, a freshman coming in. I know they expect big things from them. If they can get that offensive line solidified, they're going to score a ton of points, like their defensive line, like their linebackers. So really like this Oklahoma team. Comparing them to Texas, though, their non-conference schedule is a little bit more difficult. They host a Florida State team that's going to be really good on offense, host Air Force, who's always solid, and they go to Cincinnati, who might be down a little bit, but that's going to be one of the biggest games in Cincinnati football in probably the last, 80, 90 years. So they're going to be geared up for that one there. So I'll give Oklahoma credit. They're testing themselves a little bit more than Texas is this year non-conference.
And, of course, that at Cincinnati game will be September 25th. Your impressions so far of the quarterback Landry Jones and what he was able to do, because he was quickly thrust into the spotlight last year.
Yeah, pretty solid. I mean, put up good numbers. Had his moments where he was really good. Had his moments where it threw too many interceptions. 26 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. I think they'd probably like that ratio to improve a little bit. It's not bad, but it's not what we've seen from Oklahoma quarterbacks in the past. I think he'll be more comfortable this year. I think the skill position player is a little bit better. So I expect a pretty good year. And I hope he has a great year, because I just took him in my we're big college fantasy football players here at Athlon. And I just took him in my draft. So I need a big year from Landry Jones.
Okay, let's head to Stillwater, Oklahoma. Those Cowboys 2010, they're looking to be more explosive, and Coach Mike Gundy, he's going to try to get that going, right?
Yeah, hired Dana Holgorsen, who's done a terrific job at Houston the last couple of years. He's kind of a Texas Tech, Mike Leach disciple, so they're going to go with a four wide, which is going to be interesting, because Oklahoma State last 4 years, they've led the Big 12 in rushing. Now, they're still going to run the ball. You've got to run the ball when you've got Kendall Hunter there, but they're going to be wide open on offense, and they think they've got the quarterback to do it. And Brandon Whedon, former minor league baseball player, supposedly has just a huge arm. Saw him play a couple times last year in relief and got the job done. They're a team that got a lot better on defense last year. When Bill Young came in his first year as a coordinator, they made drastic improvements. Now, they only have three starters back from last year, so that's going to be an issue there. But, it just looks like that they lost too many key parts to be a big threat. Last year was their year to challenge. They had a good year. They went 6-2, but they lost to Texas and Oklahoma by a combined 68-14. So it kind of still shows you the gap. Even in their best year, the gap between O State and the two superpowers was still pretty wide.
Okay, we talked about the Big 12. Let's quickly head to the Mountain West Conference. Only have time for one more question, but they're coming off such a breakthrough season last year, and Gary Patterson, he'll have his Frogs ready to go. And they're saying, the rumor is that he's got his best team yet.
He very well might be, and there's a lot to like about this team. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but remember I was talking about Oklahoma's statistical advantage. I think TCU was the most statistically dominant team within their own league last year. As far as looking at their offensive averages and defensive averages, they were the best team in the country relative to their league competition. You know, Gary Patterson, you think defense, rightfully so, but they were so good on offense last year. Andy Dalton might be the most underrated quarterback in the country, dual threat guy. They can beat you with the running game. They always have a host of running backs. They've got tremendous depth this year, so be shocked if they don't win the Mountain West.
Well, Andy Dalton, of course, very efficient with his passing, but also let's not forget that he rushed for 522 yards last year, too.
Exactly. Like I said, I mean, when you got a dual threat quarterback who really is a true dual threat, meaning he can throw the ball,
yes,
and a host of good running backs, guys like, you know, Jimmy Young and Jeremy Curley at wide receiver, they've got weapons all over the field, and that's on offense. And we really think of TCU, we think of them as a defensive team.
Outstanding. Mitchell, thank you so much for joining us, and we will catch up with you again real soon.
No problem.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at eradiosports.com.